Chapter 23, The Temple of the Gods. Janus sat up with a start. He was lying on a bed of pine needles in a dark, quiet forest, and yet he swore he had heard someone shouting at him. The boy sat frozen in the moonlight, straining to listen for what had awakened him so abruptly, but could only discern a sea of crickets and his gently snoring friend, Juice. Then, in his mind, he heard Granny yell at him to get up, and Juice jumped up in the same confused alarm Janus had experienced a moment earlier. "We're up! We're up!" Janus thought back to her. "What's the problem?" Granny replied, "The problem is that the high priests have finally left, and you only have a few hours before sunrise. It's time to go." Merlin walked over and reached out to teleport him, but Juice interrupted his motion to say, "Hey, you might want to tinkle first. It's up to you, but I doubt there's a toilet in that shrine." Janus chuckled and thanked his friend for the helpful advice. A few minutes later, he stood facing Merlin and said, "Okay, go ahead and do your Soul Reaper thing." Merlin nodded and replied, "As you wish," as he placed his hand on Janus's shoulder. Janus had been thinking about the last time he was teleported by a Soul Reaper. It seemed like a lifetime ago, but he still trembled from his terror. The boy had also been anticipating what it would be like to enter the Shrine of the Gods. He expected it would be similar to his visit to the Room of the Order of the Key back in the training cave. Both contained ancient texts and relics, although the Shrine of the Gods was in active use and he was not an invited guest. Neither of his expectations was accurate. The teleportation was instantaneous and uneventful. The shrine was awful. Janus had anticipated the fragrance of old leather, parchment, and wood. Instead, his nose was assaulted with the stench of stale beer, urine, and poosh, which is a mild hallucinogenic drug smoked in rolled joints or bongs. Janus illuminated a glowstone to see where they were. At first, he suspected Merlin had transported them to the wrong location. They were in a mid-sized room containing a cards table and four chairs. Playing cards, poker chips, and mostly empty beer glasses littered the table. The urine smell was emanating from some oversized buckets by the door. Partially eaten sandwiches and other trash were scattered on the floor.
Upon closer examination, however, Janus saw that the side walls were lined with bookshelves and the wall at the end was dedicated to an ornate shrine. Some bookshelves contained relics, while others stored parchment scrolls. Rows and rows of books filled most of them, however.
Merlin sat in a chair and tried to remove the sticky substance he had stepped in from his shoe. He commented, "Well, I don't think the high priests often use this room for religious meditation." "No, they don't seem to be nearly as respectful or tidy as you were in your room," agreed Janus as he poked at a moldy object with his toe. Merlin laughed and said, "But then again, I didn't have any poker buddies. Let's stop judging and start searching. There's a lot of material here, and we don't have much time." Janus wanted to start with the scrolls, since they were looking for something ancient. Merlin thought they should begin with the books. They agreed to disagree and began perusing their preferred media. An hour later, neither was having any luck. Nearly all of the parchment scrolls were written in languages unfamiliar to either Merlin or Janus, and most crumbled to dust when unrolled. The bound books turned out to be journals, which Merlin quickly skimmed and rejected. Some were religious or philosophical treatises, while others were financial ledgers. One contained plans and employment records from when the great dragon was sculpted, but none predated the shrine. Janus glanced at the shelves of relics. They were little more than expensive statuary donated by wealthy people trying to bribe their way out of some sort of transgression. The shrine itself held the most impressive pieces. There were 3-foot-tall statues of the four gods carved out of granite, obsidian, marble, and some sort of crystal. Each was embellished with gold and turquoise inlays. They were beautiful, but none contained any helpful inscriptions. The only other items on the shrine were small jars and bowls for offerings and dozens of candle holders dripping thick, frozen flows of hardened wax from centuries of candles. Janus was about to give up when Merlin exclaimed, "I found something!" Merlin explained that he had discovered a journal describing the origins of the shrine itself. The famous sculptures were well known, although they were poorly crafted representations of the gods, carved by some primitive people. Pious people made pilgrimages to view them, though, and soon a town was born. The earliest settlers might have been religious pilgrims, but the second wave was much more secular. Shopkeepers, hoteliers, and restaurateurs arrived to support the growing tourist trade. A commerce collective was soon formed, which agreed that more accurate depictions of the gods would draw more business, and artists were brought in. At some point, someone started a rumor of a secret chamber carved into the mountain behind the faces, which was filled with unimaginable treasure. It was buried beneath the dozen feet of volcanic ash and pumice which blanketed the entire region from some ancient eruption. An archaeological expedition was formed, and the chamber was found after 2 years of digging. Unfortunately, it was completely empty. The dig's nearly bankrupt backers were about to be run out of town when one of their workers struck the back wall of the chamber with their pickaxe and noted a hollow ring. Merlin paused the story, and Jairus stared at him with exasperation. "And?" he asked. "Don't stop there, man. What did they find?" "I don't know," admitted Merlin. "That's the end of the journal. We need to find the next one in the series." "Gods, I hate cliffhangers," complained Janice as he began pulling books off the shelves and skimming the first few pages of each. "And I hate people who don't put books back on the shelves in the proper order," grumbled Merlin. Janice found the right book a few minutes later and excitedly shared what he learned as he read. The workers broke through the false wall and saw a handful of ancient relics and writings on some sort of parchment and more etched on a sheet of metal. "This is it," the boy exclaimed. "This is what we're looking for. I'm sure of it." His face fell as he read further. The acid from the volcanic ash had degraded the parchment. The document turned to dust as soon as it was touched. The acid also corroded the metal to the point where it was impossible to read. The financiers, however, used this find as an opportunity to ward off their creditors. They claimed that this dig was never about anything as mundane as money, and that the real treasure was in the sacred texts found in the hidden alcove. They claimed the holy books were written when the gods first walked among their creations. Their project was deemed a success, and the precious writings were secured from everyone other than the highest priests. They obtained another round of financing and built the shrine as it is today. A puja was constructed along the back wall where the hidden alcove had been located. The original texts were placed on either side. Merlin and Janice stared at each other before racing to the puja at the back of the shrine. Both scoured the shelves for the ancient texts, but none were found. Janice cried out in frustration, but Merlin held up his hand and said, "Janice, I think I found one." Janice raced over to find the old man holding an ornate cut glass jar filled with yellow dust. Merlin sighed. "I suspect this is all that is left of the parchment, and that you will find a similar jar containing metallic dust on the other side of the puja." Janice's stomach dropped as he glanced at the other end of the shelf and saw a similar jar containing rust-colored dust. "Oh, man, it's all gone," he moaned. "What are we going to do?" "Well, we should start by getting out of here," Merlin softly answered. "Here, put this journal back on the shelf and please put it in the proper place. I despise disorder." Janice slid the book next to its companion and admired the bookend keeping them in place. It was a cube of granite with the names of the gods carved on the four sides. His excitement grew when he turned it over and saw Saturn's name engraved on top and Opsa's on the bottom. At that moment, however, a new sound echoed in the room. The door began to open. Janice dropped the cube in his pack and dimmed his glowstone as he and Merlin ducked behind two bookcases. They saw two people silhouetted in the blinding morning light streaming in from the open door. The two-person cleaning crew shuffled in with brooms, mops, and a bucket before closing the door and illuminating a glowstone. They went straight to work, muttering about how the priests were slobs. The two custodians didn't notice the two intruders hiding behind the far bookcases. Janice grinned at Merlin, held his finger up to his lips in the universal sign for quiet, and stepped out from the shadows. "My master feels the same way," Janice loudly proclaimed as he strode over to the cleaning crew. The two janitors jumped back in alarm, and one kicked over a bucket. This was most unfortunate because the spilled bucket contained last night's pee. The stench was now overpowering, but neither janitor appeared to notice. "Who are you? How did you get in here? You are not allowed to be in here," whimpered one of the janitors. He had intended to be threatening, but failed miserably. Janice ignored the questions and continued walking toward the two terrified men and said, My master wants to know how long the priests have been abusing this holy shrine. Who is your master? Stuttered the second janitor with wide eyes. Do not ask what you do not want to know, growled Janus as he stood before the trembling man, still lying in the puddle of piss. Answer my question. I don't know. The shrine has been like this as long as I have worked here. The priests anointed six of us years ago to maintain it as penance for crimes we committed. We live by ourselves at the far end of the holy promenade, and speak to no one, answered the terrified man. The first man was regaining his composure and said, You keep mentioning your master, but I see no one here but you. I think you are nothing but a thief who is caught and is now trying to talk his way out of here. I demand that you surrender and explain how you broke into this sanctuary. Janus thought, You have no idea how right you are. But instead, he said, Thieves! We are representatives of the gods themselves. You will respect us and you will do our bidding. Then he added in a softer tone, I was anointed by my master, much like you. I serve him on his mission to inspect holy sites like this throughout the world. Unlike you, however, this is not penancing for any prior crimes. I was taken from my family when I was 13 years old to do his bidding and to be his voice to the world. I advise you to follow my every instruction as though they were commanded by him. Both men immediately screamed and fainted as a tall, leather-skinned soul reaper with hollow eyes appeared from behind Janus. The janitors awoke to see that neither Janus nor the soul reaper had moved. Janus had the same disdainful expression as before, and the soul reaper was expressionless. Neither man had ever seen a soul reaper this close, and both were pressed against the door. Janus knew that they had collapsed in this pilled urine, but the stains on their pants indicated that they had added to the mix. Open the door and instruct the guards to escort us to the priests, Janus instructed in a bored, monotone voice. Yes, sir, answered both men as they scrambled to their feet and pounded on the door. The outside guard opened the door and the two men ran out. The guard had expected the servants to take longer to clean the shrine and not to emerge smelling of pee. His eyes widened when he saw Janus and the soul reaper follow them. Halt! The guard commanded, but it sounded more like a plea than an order. Janus ignored him and said, You will escort us to the high priests and the town leaders. The state and operation of this shrine are completely unacceptable. Changes must be made. The guard gulped and said, But the priests are sleeping. They were here very late praying to the gods. Janus said nothing but eluded some wisps of smoke from his robes and released a few sparks of battle magic from his hands. The nearest guards could feel the magical energy tingling their arms and quickly stepped back. The lead guard knew his superiors would expect him to do what they requested anyway, so he ordered his troops to lead the two intruders to the priests. The guards surrounded Janus and the Soul Reaper at a safe distance, clearing a path along the holy promenade toward the village. They prepared to take the janitors back to their prison, but Janus stopped and said, No, these two come with us. They have much to share with the town leaders. The captain started to explain how that wasn't permitted when Janus threw forward his left arm and released a full blast of battle magic above his head. The fireball exploded in the volcanic ash and pumice beside him to create a massive plume of smoke. Do not disobey my master's command, yelled Janus in the deepest voice he could muster. The next blast will not be a warning. The captain and his nearest troops could barely breathe. They were covered in ash and most were kneeling on the ground, choking on the coarse, toxic dust. Janus motioned for the janitors to follow him as he and the Soul Reaper began walking down the promenade. They were halfway to town before the dust-caked captain caught up with them. Let them through! Let them through! He shouted as he stumbled to get in front of his prisoners. The townspeople were crowding around the entrance to the holy promenade by the time Janus and the others arrived. They had heard Janus's explosion and witnessed the massive smoke plume. Rumors about the strangers being escorted down the mountain spread like wildfire. The mayor and minister of commerce appeared to be ready for business. However, the high priests were bleary-eyed and unshaven. The crowd backed away when they saw the soul reaper, but the town leaders held their ground as the mayor prepared to speak. Janus, however, held up his hand to silence the politician and made his announcement. He proclaimed, "My master and I are traveling the world, inspecting all holy temples and shrines in the name of the gods. Your shrine is an intolerable disgrace." The most senior priest protested, "That is a lie! Our shrine is a sacred place dedicated to studying and honoring the gods." The mayor added, "And this town exists to maintain the temple and to support the beneficent opportunity of sharing the godly experience to all pilgrims who travel here." "Enough!" shouted Janus. "These men are witnesses to the state of the shrine itself. They can attest to the fact that it is in disrepair and reeks of urine. This is intolerable!" The janitors were terrified of reprisals if they confirmed Janus's statement. The priests and village elders were also scared of losing their positions and the tourism business. This fear didn't weaken them, however. Fear made them dangerous, and Janus knew it. Both the high priest and the mayor began to speak, but Janus stopped them again. Neither of the town leaders was used to being out of control. They glanced at the guards as if to give them an order. Janus raised his voice and stated, "The shrine stinks of urine because there are no toilets for the priests to use during their long nights of meditation. The furnishings are far too old, spare, and uncomfortable for anyone to effectively contemplate the gods' desires for the long hours required, and your so-called holy promenade is little more than a narrow trench winding up the mountain." The high priest's eyes flashed with greed, and his complaints were silenced for the moment, but the mayor and minister of commerce were concerned. "And what do you propose we do about this?" asked the mayor, who was worried about the direction this conversation was heading, but pleased that he was finally able to speak. Janus said, "You will renovate the shrine and place toilets nearby, of course. And you will widen the holy promenade, add 1,237 steps, and line it with festive poles and arches. Only the priests may enter the shrine itself, but all pilgrims will be allowed to climb the steps of the holy promenade to view the entrance to the shrine. And you will improve the overall appearance of the town and add more guest rooms and dining facilities for the additional visitors you will receive."
The Minister of Commerce blurted, "And just how do you propose we fund all this?"
Janus reached into his pack and tossed the large sack of jewels he'd removed from the talismans at the feet of the village elders. The bag burst open and the crowd gasped as dozens of precious stones tumbled onto the street. "The gods provide," he said without a smile or any vocal inflection. "And what do you expect in return?" gulped the mayor. "We expect that you spend this wealth wisely, so that we will be pleased when we return," answered Janus. He was desperately thinking, "Any time now, guys," to his dragon friends. A moment later, two dark shadows appeared over them, and the people scattered as a pair of dragons descended. The priests and village leaders scrambled to gather the jewels before scurrying away with the others. "Heed my master's instructions. We have other sites to inspect, but we shall return," warned Janus as they each mounted a dragon and flew off to the east.
"Whoa, that was awesome," thought Juice to his friend. "I am totally blown away."
"I don't know what blown away means, but I am truly impressed," agreed Granny.
"Me too," concurred Merlin. "It's just too bad that we didn't find the clue we were seeking."
"Oh, but I think we did," grinned Janus. "I think we did."